Okay, good morning. Today's shiur is, I was going to mention this anyway, but today's shiur is sponsored in the schus of everyone getting their power back. There are plenty of people, Passaic was hit pretty hard, there's no question about it, but there are plenty of other neighborhoods that make Passaic seem like a breeze, and we all know people, whether it's Yidden or Goyim, especially the Yidden that we're concerned about, they definitely need our schusim and our tefillas. Davening, for sure, anyone, we're not learning Hilchos Tefillah, but as far as when a person davens, a person can open up a tillum and definitely just daven for the people that need help, whether it's financially or whether it's physically. People lost everything, and we all know people that happened to. So the schus of our learning and our davening should be a help for them, that they should get their lives back on track as soon as possible. Okay, so last time we started the Halachos of Bishul. Today is the second shiur on the Halachos of Bishul, and we will continue where we left off, and we'll see how much we could cover today. So last time we discussed the basic Halachos of Bishul. We started off with Yatzel Edesboy and Michael Ben Drusoy. We were in the middle of the Halachos of Makarev Bishulay, of acts that hasten cooking on Shabbos, things that make the cooking happen quicker. And of course we said you can't raise the fire, you can't move things closer to the fire. We discussed removing some contents, which when you make something less, the liquid or the solid, that makes things cook quicker. And we also discussed mixing food that was on the fire, off the fire, not fully cooked, fully cooked. We discussed all of that last week, and these halachos will come up at certain points as well. But we just have two more examples of one or two more examples of acts that are makarev bishula, that make things that are already going to be cooked, eventually they would be cooked, but it makes them cook at a quicker pace. So the next example, number five, is covering a pot. We touched upon this, that covering a pot also hastens the cooking of the food inside. So if you have a pot of food that is not fully cooked, it's not fully cooked yet, even if it's just a tiny bit, just one bean in the chont is not fully cooked, so once you remove the cover, you are not allowed to put the cover back on top. Even if you remove the cover for a very short amount of time, if there's if you have a pot that's not fully cooked, you want to look inside, you want to smell it, or you just want to see where it's holding, you are not allowed to take off the pot, take off the cover, and put it back on if all of the contents inside are not fully cooked. And again, like we mentioned last time, a blech, silver foil, none of that helps, or anything like that, or a rock inside, none of that helps for cooking. This is considered cooking, and this is usur mederaisa by a Torah level, that if it's not fully cooked, to cover a pot or to cover the chompa. Even if it's off the fire, a place can tell us that the Bir Halacha says that also you're not allowed to. If it's still very hot, even if it's off the fire, if it's not fully cooked, once the cover comes off, you are not allowed to cover the pot. That is all when the food inside is not fully cooked. Let's say, and that's very simple, let's say the food inside is fully cooked, and you want to take a look inside, you want to smell it, or you want to see where it's holding, but the food inside is fully cooked. So you'll remember the last time we spoke about by Hagasa, by mixing the food, we said that even if it is fully cooked, the Mishnah Berurah said that if it's on the fire, you are not allowed to go ahead and mix it. That's what we said last time in regards to mixing food on a fire. If it's on the fire, the Mishnah Berurah said you are not allowed, even if it is fully cooked. So what about covering a pot, if it is fully cooked, if it's on the fire? So if we assume that it's the same thing as mixing it, then this would be usur as well. Meaning what? Fully cooked on the fire, and a crock pot on its cylinder, the cylinder in the crock pot is considered on the fire. And sure enough, Moshe Feinstein says you are not allowed to cover a pot of food, even if it is fully cooked, if it's on the fire. That's what Moshe Feinstein says, and others. The other paiskim that say that would be permitted. So that is a big machlokas. Abshalom Zalman Orbach says it's permitted, and others, plenty of others, say that mixing it is more strict for various reasons which we won't get into. So there we have a big machlokas. Again, if it's not fully cooked, no matter what, you're not allowed to cover the pot, on the fire, off the fire, it doesn't make a difference. If it is fully cooked, then if it's on the fire, then it's a big machlokas. Preferably, I know the English forum come out that we should try to be strict like Rav Moshe Feinstein. Like I've said many, many times over here, whenever you have a chumrah from Rav Moshe Feinstein, definitely makes sense to go along with it. And therefore, if it's on the fire, if it's the crockpot is in the cylinder, then you should not cover it, even if it is fully cooked. If you really need to check it and you want to see what's going on inside, so what you would do is you would remove it from the cylinder, from the crock pot, or you remove it from the fire, on top of the fire. Then you could pick up the cover, take a look inside, then cover it again, and then remove it, put it back onto the fire with the halachos of chazar, which we will discuss at some later point. That is as far as when it's fully cooked. One last example, which is like an offshoot of the same example, is closing an oven door. We were discussing this at one point. Let's say you have an oven that is on, and you, let's say, of course, you put it in before Shabbos. We're going to discuss these halachas separately. But if you have an oven door and you have food inside the oven, see, if the food inside the oven is not fully cooked, then you can, once you open the oven door, you cannot close the oven door with the food still inside if the food is not fully cooked, because that also hastens the cooking. Once you open up the oven door, cold air comes in. Of course, things are cooled off somewhat, even if it's still hot. But once you close the oven door, that is similar to covering a pot, and therefore if the food inside is not fully cooked, that would not be allowed. Let's say the food inside is fully cooked, and that's the example I think you and I were talking about. So the Paiskim seem to say, and this will make sense, what we just said a moment ago, that is a big machlokas, and that should preferably not be done. Like Rav Moshe Feinstein says, like we just said, covering a pot, even if it is fully cooked, if it's on the fire, so a pot or a pan that's in the oven obviously is halachically considered on the fire, even though it's on a tray, but of course that's considered on the fire, on the heating element, in the heating element. So that's why preferably you should not, if you have food inside the oven, even if it is fully cooked, if the oven is on, you should not close the oven door. We were discussing this once, and Rabbi Sachs sent me to the Star K website. I did not get a chance to look into it again, or to speak to Rabbi Sachs again. I was away. But preferably, that is probably the logic where it's coming from, that if even if the food is fully cooked inside an oven, if the oven is on, you should not close. Besides the issue of when you open the oven door, the fire may ignite and all those halachas, which we're not discussing right now. You have to know your oven. But that's probably, I'd imagine, that's the logic behind what he said, that would not be allowed. I would suggest for the bar mitzvah coming up, you have somebody else be in charge.
Maybe he meant to look on the
Sukkot
website, because now there are ovens that have a Shabbos mode on it.
Right, no, besides the Shabbos mode. I wasn't talking about the Shabbos mode. No, I did see, if I remember correctly, when I checked up the Sukkot website back then, it was a while ago, that they definitely have, they discuss Shabbos mode ovens as well, but I'm talking about even without Shabbos.
That doesn't affect the food. What you're worried about with the
right, if as far
mode,
as the cooking of the food, right, the shot, right,
not gonna
right.
Move,
if you're gonna, if
you're
gonna, right, that's as far as
oven.
If the flame's gonna go on, right. But as far as the cooking is concerned, right, that's true. That will be the same. Especially if it's not fully cooked, then for sure that would not be allowed. Okay, that's as far as hastening the cooking. Let's talk now about the halacha of ein bishul achar bishul. We touched upon this at one point, and when we were talking a few weeks ago, as far as the halachos of lush, of kneading things and mixing with oatmeal and things like that. But as far as there's a halacha that's called, it's halacha in Shulchan Aruch, ein bishul acha bishul. Physically, a food cannot become cooked once it was already cooked, meaning it was cooked during the week on a weekday, and now on Shabbos. We say that the halacha is by food, we'll discuss liquids separately, but by food, a food cannot become cooked once it was already cooked. Even if it cooled off, that's called ein bishul acha bishul. So by solid foods, meat, chicken, kugel, potatoes, once it's fully cooked, we say it cannot be cooked again. It cannot physically be cooked again, so therefore you are allowed to cook it again, even if it gains by being cooked longer. Chont is really like that. We call them mitstamik viafaloi. That chont, when it's there, it's fully cooked, but it's longer and longer, it gets better and better, right? Some people like it even burnt a little bit, but even if it gets better and better, that's not a problem. Once it was fully cooked before, as far as bishul is concerned, there's no issues of bishul. This is only if it was fully cooked before. If it was not fully cooked before, we spoke about that last class, that even if something is already somewhat cooked, as what we call that was Michael Ben Jusoy, half cooked or a third cooked, you're not allowed to make it into fully cooked. We said perhaps that's even mederaisa, to make it from half cooked to fully cooked. But once something is fully cooked, you are allowed to cook it further, because we say that that nothing's going to be gained by cooking it more. Nothing that's not considered bishul. Similarly, the same way there's no cooking after cooking, there's also no baking after baking. And there's no roasting after roasting. So if something is already baked, you are allowed to bake it further on Shabbos. Hold on one second. you're allowed to bake it further on Shabbos. If something was already roasted, you're allowed to roast it further on Shabbos. Midrabanan, we say a halacha, which we just touched upon and was talking about with you, is that you're not allowed, even though we say there's no cooking after cooking and that's not a problem, but you're not allowed to take something on Shabbos and put it on the fire for the first time on Shabbos. Midrabanan. Even though it's not cooked, it was already cooked from before Shabbos. So cooking is not an issue, but that's what we call nesina lichatchilah. You are not allowed to take something out of the refrigerator that was cooked before Shabbos and put it on a fire on Shabbos. That is called nesina lichatchila. Putting something for the first time, lichatchila means like for the first time, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So we'll see, not today, but we'll see at a later point, how do we go ahead and reheat foods on Shabbos, as far as putting it on top of a crock pot and plates underneath. We'll discuss all of those halachas at a later point. But nesina lichatchila is not allowed, even if there's no issues of bishul. The reason why that's not allowed is because that looks as if you're cooking, even though the food is totally cooked, but that looks, midarabanan, we say, that looks as if you are cooking, and therefore you are not allowed to do that. The Chazon Ish says that so too, you're not allowed to place a food, let's say, from the refrigerator on the stovetop on Shabbos, even if the fire is not on, but the Shabbos clock will make the oven go on, or in the oven, or in a crock pot, if the Shabbos clock will make it turn on Shabbos, then we say that's also not allowed. Even if when I'm putting it on Shabbos right now it's off, we'll discuss separately the halachas of putting something before Shabbos. But if you're putting it on Shabbos, even if right now it's off, just the Shabbos clock will make it go on in a couple hours, also the Chazon Ish says that's included in a sina lechatchila, and that is not allowed. You had a question?
Yes.
Only on something we said already, because I'm going to talk more.
Right, so the no baking after baking. Like, let's say you put it in a way you're allowed to, like on top of a crock pot, but then the challah gets crunchy on the outside, so that would be included in not considered baking.
So, I'm gonna talk about that in a second, because that's a consider like baking. The challah was originally baked, and then on top of a crock pot, that would also anyways be wrong, because that's for sure not considered bishul. There's no water around. What's the difference between cooking and baking? Cooking means with a liquid, and baking means without a liquid. So if you have a challah on top of a crock pot, that's baking, and then if anything, that's further baking. So that's not an issue.
That's not an issue. Even
that's how I'm saying that's mutter.
The texture of the challah almost gets a little toasty.
Okay, but that's still more baking. That's more baking because there's no water involved. So, yeah.
How about if the oven, let's say, is hot, it was on for Shabbos, the oven now is off, but it's still very hot.
So that we'll see more about that when we discuss later as far as reheating things. That if the fire is off, but that's still considered that in an oven, we would still say that that's considered not allowed. Even if the fire is not there, there's other ways of heating almost. It doesn't have to be a physical fire. There's other situations that we'll see more about Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, but I do believe that in the oven itself, I have to check my notes later, but I do believe in the oven itself, I think that would not be allowed. And you're talking about putting it in on Shabbos, right? Not putting it in the oven before Shabbos. I'm talking about now putting it on Shabbos.
But the oven is off.
The oven is off, but it's still very, very hot. I do believe that that's still not allowed. I have to double check that again, but I do believe that's still not allowed. That which we say that there's no cooking after cooking, that there's no problem of cooking after cooking, and there's no baking after baking, that's only if you do the same act, again, cooking, and baking. However, you're not allowed to cook after something was baked, and you're not allowed to bake after something was cooked. So there's numerous situations where a person needs to be careful about such halachas. There is such a thing as cooking after something was baked during the week, and then that is not allowed. We say that different qualities are added to the food, and therefore you're not allowed to cook after baking, and baking after cooking, and roasting after cooking, and cooking after roasting. So if let's say you have a soup mix, or an oatmeal, or noodles, so if those were baked first, so then you can't pour hot water onto those foods. I mean, we were discussing after the shiur as far as instant soups. You need to know the oatmeal or the soup, what was done to it in the factory. If it was cooked in the factory, so then now you're cooking a second time, that would not be a problem. But if it was baked in the factory, then now you're cooking, you're pouring water on it or putting it into water. We'll see as far as ladles and soup bowls, klisheni, klishlishi, we'll discuss all those halachos. But that a person needs to be careful to make sure that it's not baking and then cooking. So if you have, let's say, chicken that was boiled in a soup, you made a big chicken soup and there was chicken boiled in the soup, so that was cooked, the chicken was cooked, it was in a liquid. So that can't be switched on Shabbos to an empty pot. An empty pot, that's not considered cooking, that would be considered, let's say, roasting if it's on an empty pot. So that would not be allowed on top of the fire to do that on Shabbos. Also meatballs in a sauce, that's also, meatballs in a sauce is considered like it was cooked. Let's say you want to remove all the sauce and just heat up the meatballs by itself in a pot. That's also not allowed because originally it was cooked because it was in a sauce, and now you're heating up the meatballs separately. So to vice versa, if you have matzah or challah, like you were talking about, so that was baked. Matzah or challah was baked, and then you want to put it into soup. So again, we'll have to see separately as far as klisheni and klishlishi and things like that. But if it's, assuming, let's say it's a kli rishon, you want to dip cake into a coffee, now it's a kli rishon. Or you want to challah or matzah into a soup, that would be considered a kli rishon, or pouring it onto it. So you have to keep in mind all those halachas, that that's something that was baked, and then only afterwards it was cooked.
But that's not the instance for the instant oatmeal, you're saying.
So the instant oatmeal, I would imagine that if it's something, if those the oatmeal was, I think that was cooked in the factory, mm-hmm. If that was cooked, and now you're pouring water onto it, that's cooking again, then that's not a problem, and that's not considered a nesina lechatchila to pour water on top of it. That's not, that wouldn't be an issue with the rabbanon of nesina lechatchila. Croutons, right? The croutons and if the croutons are baked croutons, I wanted to call Osem and these
Osems
companies.
Those
are fried. Okay, so we'll talk about fried in a second. But if the croutons are baked, so then to put it into hot soup, again we have to discuss separately klisheni klishlishi. But that's baked, and then that will be considered cooked afterwards if it is in the in a kli rishon or a klisheni. We'll see. We'll discuss those halachas separately. So fried, if something is deep fried, then that's considered cooking. French fries, donuts, a lot of the soup nuts. Many paiskim say that that's considered deep fried. I know the English Sfarim and many paiskim, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Yashiv, they say that the croutons and the soup nuts that are deep fried, so then those are considered being cooked. If those are being considered cooked, then it's not a problem putting it into a soup bowl, even if it's not a kli shlishi. It still would be permitted. If it's pan-fried, that it's not deep-fried, then that's a big machoikis. You should try to be machmer. That's not considered cooked. You should be machmer both ways. Fine, I'm not going to discuss every single halacha, but that is something to keep in mind. Ein bishal achar bishal by salads, but there is such a thing as bishal achar afia and afia achar bishal. That is all by salads. Let's say by liquids. Now, by salads, we're saying it's very lenient. In regards to ein bishal achar bishal, it's not a problem. You're allowed to cook after cooking because nothing is added to it. By liquids, it's much more strict. Now, the reason why by liquids it's more strict, and when I say it's more strict, which means that by liquids there's a big machlekes about this. Do we say ein bishal achar bishal when it comes to liquid? The reason why perhaps liquid would be much more strict is very simple, and that is that if you have a liquid that was cooked, let's say water was boiled up, and then it's cold now, so the advantage that the original cooking gave to the liquid is gone, because now it's cold. If you have chicken or a kugel, and you cook it, and then it becomes cold. So there's still, it's cooked. There's a very big difference between raw food and cooked food, even if it's back to being cold again, but there's a big difference. It was already cooked. By liquids, quite possibly, many Rishayim hold that by liquids it's very different, because one, even if you cook it up, once it becomes cold again, so the advantages of the original cooking is basically all gone. So therefore, perhaps liquid is much more strict to, even though it was once cooked before, you know this liquid was once cooked before, but if it cooled off, do we say ein bishal achar bishal or not? So this is a tremendous machlekes, and the way we paskin is going to be, the Ramah says an interesting compromise. Perhaps for the Sfardim it will be different, but for the Ramah, the Ashkenazim, they paskin the following, that we say like this: if the liquid that was once cooked is now totally cooled off, it's called nitzdanin legamri, it was totally cooled off. If it's totally cooled off, then we need to be strict and consider it as if it was never cooked before. That's if it's totally cooled off. If it's not totally cooled off, it is still hot. Now, how hot does it still have to be? So the place can tell us that people could still consider it hot. Let's say it's soup. People would still eat it considered as a hot soup. How hot does the soup have to be considered, okay, now I want to have a bowl of hot soup, so yeah, that this is still considered warm, this is still considered hot. Or a tea or a coffee, this is still considered hot. How hot is that? Then if it's still that amount of hot, then we say, oh, it's the bishul, the original bishul is still around, and therefore it's not a problem of bishul achar bishul. If it's cooled off, and more than that point, It's hard to know exactly. Many Sfarim write, you know, they elaborate very much about what's considered cooled off, what's not considered cooled off. But that's basically what the place can tell us, Rabbi Yashiv and others, that if it's cooled off, that people still consider, oh, this is a warm soup, this is a warm cup of tea, then we say that's still considered warm. A perfect example of this, I know it happens a lot in my house, is, let's say you serve your child soup. He says, yeah, he wants soup. You're going to eat it? Yeah, I'm going to eat it. You serve him the soup, and he doesn't touch it whatsoever. So it's totally clean, but it's cooled off. So right now, if the soup is cooled off, so you know it's totally clean, and you want to pour it back into the big pot of soup, which is still very hot. It's a big pot of soup, even if you took it off the fire, off the blech, whatever it is, but it's still very hot. So can I take this clean bowl of soup and pour it back into the pot? That will depend how much this bowl of soup has cooled off. If it's cooled off to a point where it's no longer considered a warm, hot bowl of soup, then I can't pour it back into the pot on Shabbos. If it is still hot, then I would be allowed. And we have to discuss the halachos of chazara. If it's off the fire, we'll see. We'll talk about it. If it's on the fire, we'll discuss those halachos of chazara. But that is a typical example of a liquid that was cooked, but then it cooled off, so you have to know how much has it cooled off. Hold on a second, okay? The way they explain this, the way Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Chazon Ish explain, is that when we say it's really we paskin also by liquid, that you don't have to worry about it, but if it's cooled off, we're going to be machmir. We're going to have a chumrah if it's totally cooled off, so it will be machmir not to cook it up again, and we'll see there's going to be certain leniencies based on this. One very important halacha, and then I'll get to your question, is when we say that this liquid was originally cooked, we say the food was originally cooked, we gave examples so far about tea or soup, how hot, how cooked did that liquid need to be originally cooked to have this leniency that we say that if it's still warm, you're allowed to put it back into hot liquid. So how cooked did that have to be cooked? So almost all the paiskim, many paiskim say that it had to have reached the boiling point, which we said last class there was like three different levels we discussed. We discussed maybe Yatzal Edesbay, which was 110 degrees. We discussed for sure Yatzal Edesbay, which is 160 degrees. And we discussed the boiling point, which is 212 degrees. So most paiskim say that that liquid had to have reached the 212 point. Now imagine most bowls of soup do reach that amount, right? It's bubbling, that means it's reached its boiling point. So soup is a perfect example. Like we said before, it had already reached the boiling point at one point on the weekday, and then now you serve it and now it's cooled off, so that would have the leniency that if it's still warm, you'd be allowed to pour it back. As far as urns, we were discussing as far as urns. If you have an urn that it never reached the 212 degree point, you said you have an urn like that?
No, this week I tested it a few times.
Okay, good.
When I take the water out into a cup and I put the thermometer in, it's never 212. If I open the tap and put the thermometer in the actual water, it was 212. It has a...
It's a cliche. We know cliche cools off.
But
Chazal are right.
Like, really, it really cools off.
I didn't get a chance to do that. You must have had power this week.
No, you didn't.
Wow. I did on Sunday. Okay. So many paiskim say that it had to have reached a boiling point. So like we're saying, you need to know your urn. Let's say you have a cup of tea and you pour some water for somebody and it's clean. You decide you don't need it. So can you pour it back into the urn? You have to know, and it still has it cooled off, has it not cooled off, it had to have reached the boiling point, according to most paiskim, to have this leniency that if it's still warm, I'll be allowed to pour it back into a very hot liquid.
You're allowed to open the top of the urn.
So
you can't, it's on the fire, right?
If it's still right, okay. If it's in the urn itself, right, that would be true. That's true. If it's still plugged in, right, so that's considered on the heating element. So we said preferably you would not be allowed to put it back. But let's say in certain situations, but yeah, preferably the urn, that would not be a good example. Anyway, and by a soup, we're saying anyways, you need to. What would be negaya is by what we discussed last week, which I have right over here, but that would be a better example. We discussed last time as far as you wake up Shabbos morning and you see that your chont is all dried out. So we were discussing taking from the urn and putting it into your crock pot. Now, if the crock pot, if in the cylinder, it would reach 212 degrees, it would reach the boiling point, but in your urn it never did reach your boiling point, then even if you make it about pina mimechem, which we discussed last time, but still that would be an issue. If you're Because even though it's still okay, that would be an issue. Meaning, if the water, let's say, came out and it became less than, it became not so hot anymore, so then you would not be allowed to put it back into the original, into the crock pot. The truth is, no, I'm sorry. Even if it never cooled off that far, if it never reached the 212 in your urn, and then you want to put it into the crock pot that it will reach 212, then that will not be allowed. If it did reach the 212 in your urn, and then you see that your chont has dried out, you'd be allowed to transfer it into your chont because it was 212, it's still 212, and even if it reached a little bit less than 212, but since it was once 212 degrees, as long as, of course, it hasn't cooled off, I'm taking it basically straight from my urn to my crock pot, then that will be allowed. So that's another halacha we discussed last week as far as pouring into the crock pot if it was mixing. That's another halacha you have to keep in mind. If your urn doesn't reach 212 degrees, and now when you transfer it into your crock pot to give some more liquid to your chont, it would reach 212 degrees, then that would not be allowed. If the urn does reach 212, then we say that that will be allowed, because even if it cools off less than 212 at one point, it reached 212 and then it goes less, but of course it hasn't cooled off, then we say that will be allowed.
Do we need to all check our urns to see what the temperature
is? I don't know. I imagine it would be a good idea. I would think most urns do reach 212, especially...
A lot of them make a racket when you first plug them in, when they get to the end. So
right.
I'm thinking that maybe that's boiling and then it just... It,
for sure, what you could do is you could test it out. You could open it up in the middle of the week and see, is it bubbling? If it's bubbling, then it reaches boiling point, for sure. Sometimes there's like a lead in the middle, like you could see through it. You could see if it's bubbling. We'll discuss the water and those in that part shortly. But sometimes you'll be able to tell even by just looking through, and you could hear it, that it's, you could hear that it's bubbling. Then it would not be an issue. Yeah, you had a question before? So ask me. I cover it. Okay, so we're going to have to discuss that. We're going to discuss klisheni and klishishis. We're going to discuss that, probably not today, but the next class we're going to discuss those halachas. Very quickly.
I was just going to say about the urns that so many of them are produced by firm Jewish companies, so don't you think they would have this in mind?
If they're knowledgeable, yeah. If they would make sure. Yeah, if they would make sure to go with those paiskim that you need to reach 212, then yeah, they should try.
And can I ask a quick question about that?
Very quick.
You talk about adding the water to the chon, and didn't we just talk at the beginning here about like not taking it off the pot?
But you would take it off. Let's say you would take the crock pot off. You would take it off and put it underneath the urn. As far as hagasa, anyways, we said preferably you should take it off.
Right, okay.
Let's say you have lakshin. Okay, no more questions till then. Let's say you have lakshin or noodles. Right, or a matzo ball or a knedel. So all of these things are all cooked before. If you have lakshin and noodles, all these things are cooked before, and you want to put them into a bowl of soup, so or a pot that's off of the fire. If it's on the fire, then it's a sinah lechatchila. So it's a solid. Those are already cooked from before Shabbos. So then again, that's not a problem. Even from the fridge, you have a bowl of soup that's very, very hot, or a pot of soup that's very hot, it's off the fire. You can take a bunch of matzo balls or a bunch of lakshin from the refrigerator and put it into the bowl of soup.
But they're cold.
They're cold, but those are solids. Oh, so since those are solids, we say ein bishel acha bishel. That's not a problem. Bishel acha bishel. Those are solids
off the fire,
because otherwise, since it's seen in lechatchila, you can't take the matzo balls or the lakshin and put it into the pot of soup that's on the fire, because then that's nesina lechatchila. You also can't put it into the bowl of soup that's off the fire and then put that pot onto the fire, even though it's a two-step process. But that's also considered nesina lechatchila. But if you have the pot of soup off of the fire, you can take the lakshin or the matzo balls and things like that, noodles, and put them in, because that is a solid and it's ein bishel acha bishel. Keep in mind that sometimes the lakshin will have water on it, if it was drained before. So it depends. If that water was a water that was really cooked before, because it was water that was cooked with the lakshin, so that water most probably has cooled off, especially if you've taken it from the refrigerator. So preferably you should drain that water totally off the noodles, because if you put the water into the pot, then that water has cooled off. So preferably you should drain it off before Shabbos. I even have that written in my notes. I wasn't sure if I should mention it, but if the water is attached to the noodles, yes, we say that's close enough attached, and that would be an issue of borer. Definitely you should drain the water before Shabbos. The water, once we're talking about urns, you have these water level indicators, and you know what I'm talking about, like in the urn there's a water level indicator. So there's a big discussion amongst the paiskim, the water that's in those indicators, sometimes that cools off very, very much. Either it never reaches to get the boiling point, because it's not in the urn itself, it's in just a separate section. That those that say that you shouldn't use such urns on Shabbos, because then when you take water out of it, it'll mix with the rest of the water, and then now you're cooking it on Shabbos, and even if it was cooked before but it totally cooled off, that the water in there, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says it's not a problem. If you already have such an urn, you'll be allowed to. Rav Shlomo Zalman says it's not a problem based on a combination of factors. If you're going to go buy an urn, so preferably not to have one with those water level indicators, because there are those that say that the water in that section is totally... Sorry? There's two different types. I'm sure there are two different types. If it's a separate water goes in that separate section, then you have to be careful. What about ketchup? So Rav Moshe Feinstein says that ketchup and mustard is considered a liquid. He says that's considered a liquid. Now, like we're saying, for as far as Ein Bishlo, of course the ketchup was cooked at one point in the factory, but is it considered a solid that we say, oh, don't worry about it, Ein Bishlo Acha Bishlo, or do we say it's considered a liquid? So Rav Moshe Feinstein is machmir, and he says it's considered a liquid. I know the English Svarim go along with that, they go along with Rav Moshe, that's considered a liquid, and if you would put ketchup onto a food that is very, very hot, we'll discuss klishenis, klishlishis, and Dover Gush, we'll discuss all those lochas next time in Mitzvah Shem, but Rav Moshe considers ketchup and mustard like a liquid. Not everybody agrees to that. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rav Yashiv say that it's considered a solid, so you don't have to worry about it, it's considered Dover Yavish. Listen, it's preferable to try to be machmir as far as that. We'll discuss again how we could avoid these questions anyway as far as a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni, but that is something to keep in mind, that ketchup and that flows a little bit, it pours and flows, is that considered a lach or Yavish? Very important, soluble foods. Foods that are, right now, they're solids, they're yavish, but when you put it into liquids, it dissolves, and it's like a powder, and that will turn into a liquid right away. Coffee, tea that's like salt, sugar, hakoko mix, pepper, garlic powder, many spices that are cooked already in the factory beforehand. Again, if it's never cooked before, then for sure you have a problem, because it was never cooked and you're cooking it. But I'm talking about things that have already been cooked before, but of course it's cooled off. So our spices and those coffee, tea, and those things, are those considered like a solid? Or when they're put into liquid and they dissolve, are they considered a liquid? So the Paiskim say that you should be machmir, that those are considered like a liquid. So now again, we'll discuss tea and coffee, Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, and Kli Shlishi, but as far as the Kli Rishon is concerned, that's why we try to be strict not to put instant tea and instant coffee into Kli Rishons. It's a solid, and they were cooked in the factory anyway. Right? We all know, you try not to do Kli Rishons when it comes to tea and coffee. The reason is because we say that we consider those like a liquid, even though right now it's a solid, but since it'll dissolve right away and turn into the liquid, so we say those are considered like a liquid. Of course, they have cooled off totally, and therefore we say that should not be done on Shabbos.
Can you repeat some of the foods that they include?
Coffee, tea, salt, and sugar, hot cocoa mix, and many other spices. We'll have to see separately, and again, in regards to Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni, what is allowed as far as salt. Am I allowed to put salt into a bowl of soup? So let's see about the ladle. Is it considered like a Kli Sheni or not? Am I allowed to put salt into a pot, a Kli Rishon? When we discuss the halachos of Kli Rishon, we're going to discuss that separately. Hold on one second. I'll take questions, Bez Hashem, be neither at 10 o'clock. There's also very negeya by, a lot of times you have a food that, let's say, is a chicken. Let's say you have chicken, but there's gravy. And there's sauce. So in a way, it's a solid. The chicken, of course, was cooked before Shabbos, but now I'm reheating it. But there's also liquids, there's gravy around. So many places can say that that each one has to be considered separately by itself. The chicken, of course, is considered a solid, but the gravy that's around the chicken or around the meat or the potatoes, whatever it is, that would need to be considered like a liquid. So besides the Nesina Lechatchila issue, that you're not allowed to put it straight on the fire, but let's say I have an upside down pan, which we'll discuss, and you put it on top of another pot. So let's say as far as Nesina Lechatchila, it's not an issue, but as far as the cooking, the gravy, many places can say we need to consider the gravy like a liquid. And then the gravy, if the gravy has cooled off, if it will reach to the level of Yad Soladisbo, then you would not be allowed to heat it up. And we discussed last week that even if you plan on taking it off before it reaches that level of 110 degrees, you know you're going to take it off, but we still say midarabanan, that will not be allowed. So again, practically, you want to take out of the refrigerator a pan of chicken or meat or something that has a sauce, that has a gravy, so that even with an upside down pan and even on top of a crock pot and things like that, if the sauce part of it can reach 110 degrees, you are not allowed to do that on Shabbos. even on top of a crock pot and things like that, because this is an issue of bishul as far as the liquid that was once cooled was cooked before, but of course it has totally cooled off, then we say that is not allowed. That is very negaya.
A lot of liquid or like a little drop of congealed fat?
So if it congealed fat, fat that is, that we say, many Paiskim say that that is considered yavish, like butter and margarine. There are Paiskim that say, Ramesha Feinstein says that that's considered, you could be makel, that's as far as that's considered a yavish. But as far as like the gravy that got a little bit congealed, that we say it will turn into liquid, that we say is considered like liquid. But if it's like a real fat, that it'll melt. So besides the noilat issues, of course, we have to be careful with the issues of noilat on Shabbos. But that would be considered, that many places can say that is considered like a yavish, and if it was cooked before, it will be allowed to be cooked up again. Let's discuss one last section of halacha, and then this way, Bez Hashem, next time we'll be able to go straight to Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni and Kli Shlishi, and that is the following. We discussed so far all different cases of, many different cases of bishul. Let's say somebody violated the halachos of bishul on Shabbos, and now they have the food, and they already violated the halachos of bishul, and it was already done. What can you do? You do tshuva when it comes to Yom Kippur time. But can I eat the food or not? Can I eat or drink the food or not? So these halachos are very, very complicated. In the Gemara, it's a three-way machlokes, and the halacha will depend on many, many different variables. It'll depend on if you did it on purpose or by mistake. It'll depend if, is it usur for you or for other people? It'll depend if what was done was midaraisa or midarabanan. Was it something that everybody agreed is forbidden, or was it something that some people say, only some people say is forbidden? The halachas are very, very complex, and I went to the English forum to see how they bring it all down, all the many, many complex halachos, and I saw in one English sefer, he has one paragraph. He says, these halachos are very complex, and therefore, if such a situation arises, you should ask a competent halachic authority. So he just avoids the entire topic totally. So I had to do the research myself. I mean, I went through the Mishnah Berurah, and some of the things we're going to leave out. We're going to leave a lot of the halachos of what's done on purpose. Most of the time, these things are not done on purpose. I think we're not dealing with people that that do these things on purpose. But just a few halachos that need to be mentioned. As far as if something was done by mistake, when we say something is done b'shogeg, so the Bir Halacha, who's the Chafetz Chaim, the same person as the Mishnah Berurah, he says that if somebody thought something was permitted, then that is included in shogeg. That's considered that they did it by mistake, even though they did it on purpose, right? They went ahead on purpose and they did it. But since they thought it was mutter, and then their husband comes home from shul and they find out, or whatever reason, they find out that it really is not allowed, that is considered by mistake. So now what is, that's a very important halacha. So now what is the halacha if somebody does it by mistake? So we'll just say one or two halachas, and that is the following. If something was done by mistake, and it was forbidden only midirabanan, and that's why it's important, especially by bishul, usually I tell everybody what's considered midirabanan, midiraisa, but over here it's very important. What's considered midiraisa, midirabanan, it's important to know that if it was only forbidden midirabanan, and it was done by mistake, then the Mishnah Berurah says, he says from the Vilna Goyin that b'di'evet you are allowed to eat that food on Shabbos. The Vilna Goyin says even if it was forbidden midaraisa, but the Mishnah Berurah doesn't paskin like that. He only paskins like him in regards to midrabanan when it was done b'shogeg. So again, if you have that combination that it was done by mistake and it was only forbidden midrabanan, you didn't realize that you're not allowed to take something from the refrigerator. Now you do, but you're not allowed to take something straight from the refrigerator and put it onto the fire on Shabbos. Nesina lechadchila. Person didn't realize. So you come home and you see that somebody in your house did that. That was considered, didn't realize, so that's considered shogeg, and it's only also midrabanan because it was already cooked from before. So then, b'di'evet, you are allowed to eat it. Let's say another halacha. Let's say it was something was aser, but there was an opinion. There was an opinion that it was mutter to do on Shabbos. We don't paskin that it was mutter to do on Shabbos. We paskin that it's forbidden. But there is an opinion that holds that it's totally mutter. Also over there, we say that b'di'evet, you are allowed to eat that food. Now most of the time, this second case of there is an opinion that holds its mutter, anyways will be included in exemption number one, because very rarely will you have something that some people say mutter and some people say is totally midaraisa. So probably it's going to be midarabanan anyway. Rabbi, no, but it seems as if that this is, even if it was done on purpose, okay, on purpose is not sonageya, usually it's by mistake anyways, but if it's something that was, some people hold, is totally mutter, then theoretically, even if it was done on purpose, since some people say it was totally permitted, then we say that that is also allowed. If something was usur mederaisa, like a regular cooking, a person cooks on Shabbos, they didn't realize the halachos of Michael ben Jusoy to make it higher cooked, they thought it's totally mutter because it's already Michael ben Jusoy, but it was usur mederaisa, but it was definitely usur. So there we say the following, something that's usur mederaisa, if it was done b'sheigeg, they didn't realize the halacha, so the Shulchan Aruch says that still it is forbidden, because it was something that was forbidden midairaisa, still it's forbidden. However, the Vilna Gaon, like we said before, he says that that will be permitted. And the Mishnah Berurah says that if you really, really need to rely on this, then you'll be allowed to rely on the Vilna Gaon. So again, something that's forbidden midairaisa, it's forbidden on a dairaisa level, but it was definitely usur, so we're on a deraisa level. So if it was done by mistake, so then we have a big machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Vilna Gaon. Preferably, you should not go ahead and eat it. But if you really, really need to, then you are allowed to eat it. And the place can tell us that each situation is different. What's considered like you really, really need to? Let's say you have a bar mitzvah and you have tons of guests and you have lots and lots of people and the caterer didn't know the halacha and they did something that was forbidden midairaisa. So it was done and they didn't realize the halacha. Of course, we're talking about someone, you know, doesn't realize the halacha, so it was done by mistake. But they did something that you found out was also midairaisa. So again, the Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't eat it on Shabbos. But after Shabbos you can. But on Shabbos you shouldn't eat it. If you really, really need to, you're having tons of guests and it's really uncomfortable and it's covered in brios, so then we say that you'd be allowed to use it on Shabbos. And there's many halachos in regards to if somebody does something by mistake on Shabbos, are they allowed to get benefit from that act? Besides the halachos of Amir al-Nachri, telling Goyim to do things, which Bez Hashem will have the schus to do at some point. But if, let's say, you know, you walk into a bedroom and the lights are off and just subconsciously you turn on the lights, right? That happens to a lot of people. You know, it happens at some point in your life. You know, you just turn it on. So in that situation, Rabbi Yashav says that it has a din like a shegig. He says that's considered like a shegig. But turning on a light, according to most poskim, is considered asa midaraisa. So it would be that machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Vilna Gaon. If by mistake you walk into the room and you turn on the light just subconsciously, so are you allowed to get benefit from the light? That's a machlokes. The Shulchan Aruch says really you shouldn't. If you really, really need to, so then we say with makom hatzorich, you'd be allowed to get benefit of it. But preferably you shouldn't. If you need to look for something, and you know, preferably if it's not so important, so preferably you shouldn't do it. But we say that's considered like a shergig. Okay, Bez Hashem, next time we'll discuss the halachas of Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, and Kli Shlishi as far as a ladle and things like that. Just one other halacha, which I must have skipped in my notes, I must have missed it. When we discussed taking off the lids and ladles and things like that, a lot of times, a lot of times the droplets on the cover of the pot, the steam on the cover of the pot, or the droplets on the ladle, if you leave it out of the ladle, that'll cool off a lot of times. So that, of course, is a liquid that was once cooked before, because the ladle is coming from the soup, or the cover of the steam was once cooked before. So there, now some places can say that you shouldn't put the ladle back in the soup bowl, even if it's off the fire, if once the droplets have cooled off, because that's a liquid that has cooled off totally, and then you're putting it back inside. Now those places can say it's not a problem because the droplets on the cover or on the ladle is not considered chashiv, and it's batal, it's really nothing important. Preferably, you should try to get rid of it before. If you can't, you know, the little tiny droplets that remain, that for sure, the place can say that that's not a problem. But if the ladle has been off of the soup, and then someone says, oh, could I please have a second bowl of soup? And now you take the ladle and this steam and this droplets on the ladle, be careful, try to rinse it off before you put it back into the hot pot of soup. Obviously, if you have a pot or a bowl that was washed out, let's say you needed to wash out a bowl, so the droplets on the bottom of the bowl, and you want to put soup into the bowl, that droplets on the bottom of the bowl has never been cooked before. That's much more strict. It's not an issue of ein bishul acha bishul. That has never been cooked before. For sure, you should try to rinse out that bowl before you put hot soup inside. You should try to rinse off that bowl try to dry out that bowl as much as possible. But again, there are those that say that it was just tiny, tiny droplets, so it's not chashiv, and you don't have to worry about it. But that's something to keep in mind as far as even if you take off the cover and put it back when it's off of the fire, if the steam or the droplets has cooled off. Yeah.
Can you Oh, there's also an issue with the ladle, leaving it in the pot has the status of a klirishin.
Right, so that, Bez Hashem, we'll discuss next time in regards to klirishin, klisheni. But let's say you are careful, and, let's say you thought you finished serving. Everyone finished serving, so you took the ladle out. And now someone says they want another bowl. Or let's say someone says their power went off and they need a place for Shabbos. So they come, and now you want to serve them a bowl of soup. So now the ladle has already been off. You have to be careful that if the droplets have cooled off.
What about a bowl?
Okay, we'll stop here. Yeah, I'll take more questions. We'll stop
what
here.
About a bowl of